We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's good, Chiefs Kingdom? It's Thursday, August 18th, and this is KCSN Update, your daily dose of Chiefs news and content from us here at KC Sports Network. It is time for our 53-man roster projection. I'm excited to get into this. Which 25 players make it for the offense? Which 25 for the defense? Gave you a little hint there that we got 25 on each side, plus the other three for special teams. Those should already be obvious, but we're going to break it all down right here on KCSN Update, presented by DraftKings.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
Joining me to break down our 53-man roster projection and all of the scenarios that could take place is our guy, Tucker Franklin. And before we welcome on Tucker, a quick word from DraftKings. Kansas, DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to the Sunflower State. It won't be long until you can bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, all new customers will receive $100 in free bets when you sign up using code KCSN. Plus, one lucky customer will win a $100,000 free bet. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you $100 in free bets just for signing up today. No deposit required. Soon, you'll be able to bet on money lines, spreads, props, and more with one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbook. Plus, you'll be entered to win a $100,000 free bet when you sign up. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code KCSN to get $100 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Kansas. Plus, one lucky customer will win a $100,000 free bet. That's code KCSN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700. Must be 21 years old. Physically present in Kansas. Eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Subject to regulatory licensing requirements, one per customer, $100 issued as four $25 free bets. No purchase necessary for sweepstake. Void where prohibited. Ends first day DraftKings is allowed to operate in Kansas. See terms at DraftKings.com/Kansas. All right, now it is time to welcome on our guy, Tucker Franklin. Tucker, I'm excited to talk to you about this. We know the Chiefs just finished up the last day of training camp on the campus of Missouri Western. They've got the game on Saturday against the Commanders, probably the last time that we'll see most of the starters here in the preseason. So before we get into this roster projection and you and I debate who we think is going to make this roster, as we have no idea what's actually going to happen, just some fun way to create some content and create some discussion around this roster. But for Saturday in particular, what are you looking forward to most as the Chiefs go out there for their second preseason game?
Well, we got to see a lot of different wide receivers with the ones. I brought up on Outside the Trenches the different snap counts of the wide receivers we got to see. Juju Smith-Schuster, Andy Reid said he's not going to play in this game. So what changes with the ones? What wide receiver comes up and he gets to play with those first string guys with Patrick Mahomes? I'm now looking at that. I did say I was looking at Isaiah Pacheco earlier in the week, but that's really interesting to see who gets that next call up in Juju Smith-Schuster's place to take those reps with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, absolutely. I've already made the case that they're hiding Isaiah Pacheco. They don't want to give away the stud that they've got hiding as that seventh round draft pick. That I'm just going to go ahead and say that Brett Veach, when he said before the draft that they had a 1,000-yard rusher that was going to be drafted in the seventh round in this draft, that he was talking about Isaiah Pacheco. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I want to see Derek Gore. I know he really struggled in the last game. He's a better player than he showed against the Chicago Bears. I want to see him kind of bounce back, and whether it's probably got an uphill battle. He's, you know, spoiler alert, he does not make our 53-man roster that we're about to go through, but I do think he's good enough to be on a 53-man roster somewhere in the NFL. So if he doesn't end up with the practice squad, doesn't stay with the Chiefs, I hope he goes out there and shows out, shows what he can do, because like I said, I think he's a much better player, and we saw it last year with what he can do. So, all right, Tucker, we know on Tuesday, August 30th, that is the deadline that the NFL has set for the player, for the teams to cut the players down to just 53 players, and all the rosters right now at 85. So there's just over 1,000 players that are going to be released on that Tuesday. And then you've got the waiver claims the next day, practice squad start getting set up the next day. And then you've got injury designations for players like Lucas Niang, who's right now on the PUP list, and they've got to figure out what they're going to do with him and how he projects. And he won't count against the roster if he's, because he started on PUP and he never practiced. Right. So a lot of stuff going on, and you can see all the important dates in the NFL information right there. But let's get into this projection, Tucker, and let's start with the offense. And in looking at this, we'll start along the offensive line. I know as a former offensive lineman, you might appreciate that. I have the Chiefs keeping 9 offensive linemen, and we'll just kind of run through them and tell me what stands out to you. But the 9 offensive linemen I have the Chiefs keeping are the 5 starters, and obviously Orlando Brown Jr., Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, and Andrew Wiley, going right to or left to right. And then behind them, Jaron Christian, Nick Allegretti, Austin Ryder, and Darian Kennard. And so we just talked about Lucas Niang being the one player not included. Don't know what his situation is going to be. Most likely not going to be put on the 53, because they don't have to put him on the 53 because he started on PUP and has not practiced. But any disagreements, any thoughts there on the offensive line?
I don't think I disagree at all, actually, with this offensive line. It probably is a year where they do keep 9 offensive linemen. I believe last year they kept 10. That's because I think Andy Reid was kind of burnt by the Super Bowl by not having as many offensive linemen. And it's very uncommon that Andy Reid keeps 10 offensive linemen. It's usually 8 or 9. And I like this group here, too, because if you look in the middle with Nick Allegretti and Austin Ryder, they both play guard and center. So that gives them that versatility to play either guard position and play center if – God forbid, knock on wood, if Creed Humphrey is to go down. They basically have 2 backup centers, and they have another guard that can step in if anybody else goes down. I think that's good. Christian always looked to be that guy who was going to be that swing tackle. Just kind of in camp, they were playing him on both the left and the right sides. This was even before Orlando Brown Jr. came back. They were playing him on both sides to see if he can get his feel. And Darian Kennard, that kid's got so much room to grow, so much room to blossom. He's the right tackle of the future on this team. So not keeping him on the roster, I think, would kind of be a crime. He might be a game day inactive, but I think that this being on the roster would be is going to be great for him.
Yeah, and then don't forget, Joe Tooney can step out and play left tackle if there's an injury. And then Andrew Wiley's got some versatility as well if they want to start moving guys around. He's played different spots. So I think that's pretty set with the offensive line. Now let's move to the wide receiver position. We've got Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling listed as the starters. I have the Chiefs keeping 6 wide receivers right now. With those 3, not surprises there. And then Sky Moore. And one thing about Mecole Hardman is it does sound like that groin injury is not too serious. Jordan Schultz had put that out there, and Ian Rapoport said they were waiting to see how serious it was. Earlier today, it was reported that it doesn't seem like it's too serious of an injury, and Coach Reed already said that he believes Juju will be back next week. So I don't think either one of those guys and those injuries are going to affect the 53-man projections and injury type deals. But I've got those 3 guys plus Sky Moore, Darius Fountain, and then Justin Watson. Kind of holding it down in no particular order. But any thoughts on those 6 wide receivers being kept? You have guys like Cornell Powell, Corey Coleman, some of those other guys who I don't have making this initial 53-man roster.
It's going to be hard for those guys to make this 53-man roster too, I think, just because of the way that Justin Watson has played in the first preseason game and really through training camp. He's played really well, and he has that special teams versatility that Dave Tobe loves. Same thing with Darius Fountain. Darius Fountain has played well on special teams and has shown to be a competent wide receiver, which is always very helpful when you're fighting for a roster spot if you can show that you can play really well on the special team side of the ball. and at your usual position too. So that always does help. And I think that it's these guys are almost locked at this point, barring an injury. I think that this is the six that is expected to make the team. Cornell Powell, Corey Coleman, those guys will be excellent practice squad guys, could be game day call-ups in some situations. But I think that these guys right here, this is a lot larger of a conversation, a bigger conversation earlier on in training camp before the first preseason game. And once we saw the first preseason game, it was like, okay, yeah, these are going to be your six guys, which I think you kind of like to see at this point in the season.
Yeah, and the player we didn't mention was Josh Gordon. I just haven't seen enough from him. And he's another player that I hope comes out and plays well on Saturday, because I do think he has the talent. I know a lot of people have been saying that, it seems like, since he's had his last big year, which was almost, 10 years ago, that he kind of went off in the league. But he's still got the size, hopefully the athleticism, to go out there and make another roster, because he's shown to have the talent. It's just, this is a tough place to be a fourth or fifth wide receiver as it stands now offensively, and not bring that special teams side of things. So those are the six wide receivers. And then let's move to tight end. I have the Chiefs keeping four tight ends right now. I think Dave Tobe will have a lot to say about this. And hopefully Blake Bell's hip flexor injury, and most hip flexors aren't anything that's going to be long-term and serious like that. But do have the Chiefs keeping four tight ends in Travis Kelce, Jody Fortson, Blake Bell, and Noah Gray. Noah Gray obviously being one of those key special teams guys. I know that hurts your heart because your guy is not listed here, the guy you've been watching all of camp. But do you have any disagreements outside of just your heart hurting a little bit there for Matt Bushman?
No, sadly not. Hopefully Matt Bushman can land on the practice squad. Again, a game day call-up would be great for Matt Bushman. I think this is the right configuration. You even have Jody Fortson as the number two tight end. I think that might even become the case later on in the season, once you see these guys really start to work things out. Jody Fortson kind of had that, I think, what was it, a quad injury that he had, that he kind of got a slow start off at the beginning of training camp, and now he's playing well. So I'm excited to see what he can do on this game on Saturday, and kind of see him kind of submit himself as that tight end too. I don't really think there's any disagreements there with Noah Gray and Blake Bell as well. Blake Bell is going to be your guy who's going to be your inline tight end. He's going to be your blocking tight end. Noah Gray, I'm excited to see what he does in year two. So I think this is right, especially with tight ends, keeping four of them. But with keeping four tight ends, somebody else, another position's got to give.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the quarterback position, Tucker. No, we'll get to that, because I know everybody, Michael Burton is going to be the fullback. And then quarterback, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Chad Henne. I don't see the Chiefs keeping three quarterbacks. I don't ever really see it being a thing. I know that Coach Reed has done it in the past a little bit, but you get down to the point where you need Shane Buscelli to play your team, your season's kind of at a certain point anyway. Yeah. So that position could be better suited for someone else. Plus one of those guys would be on the practice squad, whether it's him or Dustin Crum. So let's move to the running back position, because that's the one. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Isaiah Pacheco, Jerick McKinnon, which obviously means Ronald Jones and Derek Gore, who we were just talking about earlier. I don't have them making the roster. Now, this has changed over time. I was trying to figure out a way to keep four running backs, if you would have asked me a couple of weeks ago. But the way that Pacheco has not only been talked about by the coaching staff, but just what he's shown. And for me, really, it's the pass blocking stuff, where he could be a third down option, where they're going to trust him to go out there and protect Patrick Mahomes and understand the blitz pickups and the things that a young player might not quite be ready for. And it seems like, based on the way they've talked about him, the way some of the snap counts went down last Saturday, that he is a guy that they trust in those situations, which is a great sign for him. Great sign for Brett Veach to nail a pick like that at that point. But I don't have Ronald Jones or Derek Gore making this roster.
And I don't know if that's necessarily a big surprise either, just based on the way that they played against the Bears. And it's tough because they both wanted to throw that second string offensive line, which isn't the best, right? But also the second string Bears defensive line isn't the best either. So there's a give and take there. And what I think is really interesting is we saw Ronald Jones get a little bit more snaps with the ones in practice this week, just to see what he gets. Maybe he gets a little bit more snaps with the ones this week. I don't think that that's going to matter a whole lot, though. I think that this is kind of the order it's going to be. Jerick McKinnon is a veteran, and he's practiced like a veteran. What Jerick McKinnon has benefited from is by being okay. Like, by him not being bad or him not being exponentially good, he's benefited by that, with the other players, you know, not playing as well. And to your point about Isaiah Pacheco, one of the things that I remember when we met him at the Shrine Bowl in Las Vegas, one of the biggest impressions was, holy cow, this dude just said his favorite play from his college career was a pass blocking rep.
Yeah.
He and I remember us talking about that after he left the room. We're like, that's really what he just said. That led to like a touchdown or something like that. He picked up a blitzer and it was able to lead to a touchdown. So dude is selfless. The dude loves to hit. I think he said he wants to be on the field all four downs, just because he wants to be able to do everything that they need him to do. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. I know that there's a lot of expectations out there, but I think, dare I say, they're warranted.
Yes. I mean, based on what we've seen and the way that the team has talked about, it's one thing if guys go out there and make a bunch of plays during camp and then the coaches get up there and kind of downplay it or kind of say, and not say anything negative because they're never going to say anything negative. But if they just kind of say, you know, hey, it's practice, we're not going full speed, like there are little comments that you can throw in there to kind of downplay stuff. Haven't heard a lot of that with Pacheco. So at this point, like, just lean in. I mean, we're already doing it. I'm doing it with George Karlaftis. I already projected him to break the franchise record for rookie sacks. So let's move on to the defense. Before we do that, make sure if you like this content, if you like what we got going on here at KC Sports Network, please hit that like and subscribe button. And then go ahead and leave us a comment. If you disagree with any of those picks, if there's a guy that you say, hey, this guy is 100% making the roster, if you are a Ronald Jones supporter and you're like, there is no way this guy can't be on our roster, let us know. Give us your case in the comment section. And in one of the next videos here on Cases and Update, we'll read the comment. We'll talk about it. And we'll politely disagree. Or you can talk us into it. I could be talked into it. So probably not in that case. But let's go real quick. So please go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button so we know we're doing something right here.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We'll go through the specialists here real quick. No surprises here. Tucker's guy, Tommy Townsend, Harrison Butker, James Winchester. Those are your three specialists. And then your kick returners. These might change a little bit depending upon how some of these young guys do. But number one kick returner looks to be Isaiah Pacheco. Showed some burst in that one return he had against the Bears on Saturday, which was great to see. And then Mecole Hardman being your lead punt returner, which again, anything can happen if those guys make any mistakes. Dave Tobe is not afraid to switch guys out. So let's move on to the defense, Tucker. This is where there might be some more questions. I think if you're looking at the 25 guys you want to put on defense, I feel like there'll be more here. So please let us know in the comments if you disagree with these. But let's start with the defensive line, and I'll just run through these guys. And I have the Chiefs keeping 10 defensive linemen. That's combining defensive tackle and defensive end. A lot of these guys can play both inside and out. But got Mike Dana, Derek Nnadi, Chris Jones, and Frank Clark up front. Listed as the starters. That's the way that they are in the depth chart right now. But if you listen to any of our content, starters, it's not really a stat that matters anymore, depending upon what personnel grouping you're in. But those guys, and then obviously George Karlaftis, Carlos Dunlap, and Danny Shelton, they're pretty much your locks at this point. I believe Danny Shelton, the way they talked about him, the experience that he has, he's going to make this team. But then you've got Colin Saunders, Treshawn Wharton, and Josh Kando are the last three that I have. And those are probably, in looking at this, Tucker, the three that would be pulled off in place of other players, either along the defensive line, if it's Malik Herring or somebody like that, or if you want to keep an extra defensive back or an extra linebacker. But up front, what stands out to you about that defensive line group?
I think what stands out immediately is the Colin Saunders, Danny Shelton. Those players, now I love Colin Saunders, one of my favorite players on this team, but they have a very similar play style in terms of run stopping type of big bodied guys. So I'm curious if they elect to take one over the other. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. That's one of the things that we have been looking at. If that's curious, if that happens, if they keep both, I think that's fine. But it's just one of those things where do they want to keep two players that do the same thing or not?
I think And I'll push back. I think Derek Nnadi and Danny Shelton are probably a little bit closer. Derek Nnadi's making the team, but I think they're a little bit closer. Colin Saunders, a little bit more, I don't say athletic, a little bit more beat you around the edge, uses quickness to get around you. Or Danny Shelton, it's hard to compare anybody to Danny Shelton, except maybe like an old school, like Chris Jenkins, somebody like that. Maybe even like maybe a little bit of Dontari Poe, although Dontari Poe is a crazy athlete for his size. But that was, those were space eaters where I think Colin Saunders could provide a little bit on third down against some slower, some bigger, slower interior defensive linemen. There's some matchups I think he could cause some problems, and I think that he's looked good. And I personally just like the dude a lot. So I'm putting Colin Saunders on this team. I like what he's about. I like what he brings to the locker room, but I know defensively up front, even in talking with the guys from the laboratory through this, but they had some thoughts on Malik Herring and some of these other guys that have flashed. And where, you know, Dave Tobe gets in the mix, and does he want to keep a Colin Saunders over one of these extra defensive backs that may be somebody that Dave Tobe really wants to keep. So, and then Josh Kando, Tershawn Wharton, I think you just get long athletes that can do things to get after the passer is what it's going to be about. And I think you rotate those guys anyway. We've talked about it on the show before that, you know, your top defensive lineman's playing 55% of the snaps.
Right.
So your number one guy is barely playing half the time anyway. You need a lot of bodies. Rotate these guys through. You want to keep guys like Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, even Danny Shelton fresh throughout the entire season and not overwork them at the beginning. So you want a good rotation of young players who can get after the quarterback, you know, from the very start of the season, which is why I like keeping a guy like Colin Saunders, get him in the mix. And I think he's a guy that could, given the right opportunity, step in and make an impact. But let's move on to the linebacker position. And I've got the Chiefs keeping, let's see here, five linebackers, and that would be Elijah Lee, Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, Darius Harris, and Leo Chanel. What stands out to you about that linebacker group?
Well, what stands out to me is Darius Harris over Jermaine Carter. Now, do I think that's a surprise? No, I think Darius Harris has had a better camp, and I think he's played better in the one preseason game that we've had. He also knows the system a whole lot better than Jermaine Carter does, so he does have a leg up in that regard. It's crazy to think about. You've brought this up several times, BJ. Jermaine Carter had like 88 tackles for the Panthers last year and is like not going to make this team just because of the linebackers that the Chiefs have. But what's going to be really interesting, too, is the Chiefs will rarely have three linebackers on the field. and I know Elijah Lee was listed as that third linebacker. So it's just to see how many, like what percentage of snaps Elijah Lee, Leo Chanel, they get in that kind of third linebacker role. They're going to have more safeties. They're going to have more D-backs on the field. But that's kind of the big thing is Jermaine Carter. I believe he was a free agent signing too. Yeah. So that's another free agent signing. When you talk about Ronald Jones, you talk about Jermaine Carter, both not making the team, which I think that speaks to the youth of the team.
Yeah, no, I think Jermaine Carter is a perfect signing when they made it. You have a guy and you see what happens in the draft. You end up getting a Leo Chanel. You get a couple of guys who I think are going to be on the practice squad that do play into my decision to not keep Jermaine Carter. So much as it has to do with Jermaine Carter, it has to keep with I want more guys up front. I want a Colin Saunders to be in this mix because I think it's going to be harder to find a player like Colin Saunders. I don't think you're going to have that guy on the practice squad who's got a little bit of experience who can step in and play, whereas they don't necessarily have that experience, but you've got Jack Cochran and Mike Rose, some undrafted free agent linebackers who I think could be great, good special teams contributors mid-season. If there's an injury, these guys get called up and play. I think the fact that Leo Chanel can play a couple of different linebacker positions if needed, he could be a rush Sam. He can play the green dot. He can be in the middle. Not that he doesn't have to work through that and it won't be a struggle, but as Steve Spagnuolo talked about during his presser, you've got to find guys who can do multiple things because on game day, you only get 46 players that are active on a game day. So these guys have to be able to do different things. And over the course of an entire season, I think it's easier to bring up, again, a Mike Rose or a Jack Cochran, two players I would project to make the practice squad, to step in and play special teams. If you're needing to bring somebody up the practice squad to start as your Mike linebacker, you got problems anyway. Same thing with starting like a third quarterback. Like you're already way down the line. And so for me, I'd rather keep the guys up front, have a huge you know, a lot of guys in the rotation on the defensive line to keep those guys fresh and not keep necessarily a veteran linebacker who's going to be expensive, but also might not bring the same special teams abilities as these other guys. And you only have so many players. And so that's where Jermaine Carter doesn't make the list for me. But again, a guy that is going to get picked up. We saw Lonnie Johnson got picked up by the Titans. Jermaine Carter is going to end up on an NFL roster. Just didn't see him stand out And based on the numbers, and like I said, the two guys I think will be on the practice squad, I think will be all right there. It's moved to the cornerback position. Have the Chiefs keeping six cornerbacks, Trent McDuffie and L'Jarius Sneed, Rashad Fenton being what I believe are your top three. And you've got Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, and DiCaprio Boodle to round out your six cornerbacks. What jumps out to you, Tucker, about those six corners?
I think I like these six corners. I think these are going to be the six corners. These would be my six corners as well. The fact that Jalen Watson got a shout out from Steve Spagnuolo on Tuesday means a lot, yeah. I think. DiCaprio Boodle has been playing well. I think really him being on the practice squad last year was a big benefit to him and being able to get into this. And now you're going to see him hopefully make this 53-man roster. He also brings a lot of special teams capabilities, so that also helps. And I'm sure they're trying to get Jalen Watson into that special teams as well. I believe Watson was a sixth-round pick as well. I know he was late. He was late in the draft, but you're looking at Trent McDuffie, Joshua Williams. Trent McDuffie first-round pick. Joshua Williams fourth-round pick. DiCaprio Boodle was a UDFA last year. L'Jarius Sneed fourth-round pick. Rashad Fenton was a UDFA. Jalen Watson, you know, sixth-round pick. You're looking at that crop right there and thinking, they got some talent here, but you're also looking like the value that they've gotten at this talent is incredibly good, and that's a testament to Brett Veach. Something that he's always done, right, in his time in Kansas City of getting guys late in the rounds in the UDFAs to contribute on the defensive backfield. And I'm excited to see what Trent McDuffie has, honestly. That's what I'm most excited for.
Yeah. And Fenton, for the record, Fenton was a sixth-round pick. So he was a late-round pick.
My bad.
But he is entering a contract year, and we've seen that guy go out and make plays. Actually ran into him at Quick Trip. I think I told you that. I ran into him at Quick Trip a couple weeks ago. It was during camp, so it kind of caught me off guard. And he was a lot taller than I remember him being. I thought he was a short, like, nickel guy. Like, he's taller than me. He's 6'1", ish. So excited to see what Rashad Fenton can do. He's one of the guys last year I said, that's the kind of guy that you need to pay right now because he's only going to get more expensive. And right. So you extend a player like that before he goes out and really, really plays well. But the safety position, I don't think there's any huge surprises keeping these four safeties with Juan Thornhill, Justin Reed, Deion Bush, and Brian Cook. I think those are pretty set. As far as that goes right now. And some of those guys can play multiple positions. They're going to move around and do different things with the way that Steve Spagnuolo likes to move his defensive backs and his guys around. But those are the 25 players that we have for the Chiefs defense. Please, again, on the defensive side, state your case. Let us know in the comment section if you disagree with this, you make a good case, or if you make a poor case. Either way, we'll read some of them on the next video that Tucker will actually have on Friday for you with his KCSN update with a little different twist on it. I don't want to give that away, but make sure you check that out. But please, again, rate, review, subscribe, and then hit that like button. Let us know that you appreciate what we're doing here at KC Sports Network. We know there's a lot of places you can find good quality Chiefs content. We appreciate just being one of them. So, Tucker, put your bow on this. If there's one thing that's not on here that would not surprise you, one player's name that could end up on the 53 that we have not talked about, who would that be?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. I think I'm going to say
because I had an answer. So I asked knowing that there's one player that we haven't mentioned that it was actually the lab guys had mentioned this player in particular. You're in that same chat too.
You're going to test me. I ignored all those messages last night. I was too busy watching Hard Knocks. Got to catch up. No, I think I would not be surprised if it comes cut down day and Ronald Jones actually ends up on this roster. I will say that I will not be surprised if it's August 30th, if he plays well on Saturday and he's the one that ends up making this roster. Also wouldn't be shocked if he didn't make the roster. So that's kind of who I'm thinking.
All right. Well, we talked about one of them being Jermaine Carter, but the other one's Chris Lammons, just from the special teams ability. Wouldn't be a huge surprise to people that understand necessarily that Dave Tobe's got a lot of say in the back end of that roster and some of those backup defensive back positions. And if he feels more comfortable with those guys, not going to be a huge surprise. But again, we appreciate everybody for tuning into this depth chart projection here on today's KCSN update presented by our friends at DraftKings. Please, again, if you're listening to this on the audio channels or on our podcast, please go ahead, rate, review, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, please go ahead and hit that like, subscribe, and turn on notifications, because we have a lot more content coming, a lot of cool announcements, including the announcement we made earlier today, and that the formation of our 501c3, the KCSN Foundation, is now alive and active. So what we've done over the last year, selling raffle tickets and doing different things to raise money and do different initiatives within our community, those are all now tax deductible donations. And we are running a charity golf tournament for anyone out there watching that's in the area that wants to come golf with us on Saturday, October 15th. Up at Sunflower Hills Golf Course in Bonner Springs, Kansas. It's presented by our friends at Holiday Distillery. So it's fair to think that there will be bourbon out on the course. And that is a fact for all of you that are at least 21 years old. And then we'll have all kinds of specials. Par three, hole in one, you're going to win a car, $10,000 cash. We've got a couple sets of clubs to give away from our friends at Styx Golf. So a lot of cool things, a lot of contests. It's going to be a good time. So you want to come golf, check out our Substack, find us on social media. You can find links on how to do that, how to register your team. We'll have food before and after, prizes for the winners for the Scramble tournament. Should be a lot of fun. So appreciate everybody for watching this episode, and we will see you next time. Until then, be kind to one another.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.